What?
Tiger Man's happening across the street.
Oh, wow! Could I got in it? I thought he was dead.
Also, the phone's on the table. You everybody's fine now.
Yeah. Huh? I never have my phone on the table.
Last couple podcasts.
Huh?
Last couple podcasts.
Last
what?
Couple podcasts.
Phone's ringing on the table.
Oh.
You can hear the buzz or even.
Oh, I turn it off. I turn sound and vibration off.
I mean, even like waves. Yeah. Actual getting the signal for it can actually be right over the mics.
Okay.
Okay.
I like that I go into my list and that's what it's showing me. Ah, yeah, okay. Thanks there. Program.
More room, yeah. Are we live?
Yeah.
Oh. Hello, and welcome to Crippled System.
Most enthusiastic intro ever.
Yay! I'm trying to remember what I...
What number are we on?
We are on 288. It's been 2 weeks since we recorded, because I didn't record last week. I can't remember the reason why I didn't record last week. I don't remember.
You weren't feeling well?
No, last weekend was Labor Day weekend, so, and I just didn't.
No.
Everybody seemed to be having a good time outside of the podcast, so I decided that I would.
That's allowed?
Yeah, that's allowed.
Okay.
Under my watch, you'll have fun on Labor Day. I think Nathan was just ended up having to tear apart more of his house.
Yeah. So the downstairs kitchen was like those whole sheets of like linoleum, like the rollout garbage that isn't even like individual tiles. It was that glued onto plywood that was stapled onto other linoleum that was glued with mastic tar onto the original hardwood floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like the strata layers of the earth.
Yeah, so you probably chopped off like a good inch of floor.
Yeah.
Well, I ripped. Yeah. It was an inch of floor. Like I pulled up all the plywood and just yanked that up like whole grip in the floor. It felt really good, except the staples tore through the plywood. So the staples stayed in the floor that was there.
Yeah.
And so we have like they were 2-inch staples.
Mm-hmm.
So we have like the 3/4-inch sticking above. So walking around on it is like walking on spikes.
Yeah.
And then to pull them, they're incredibly difficult to pull, and they're U-shaped. And so you go to like pull them, and what usually happens is one side will pull up, but the other side just breaks off. And so now you just have a spike that has like 1/2-inch sticking up and an inch and a half underneath.
Yep.
And that's really tough to pull out.
Mm-hmm. You just got to get a better wrench.
There's literally thousands of them.
Yeah.
Thousands. There was one spot where in a 2x2, so that's 8 square inches. There were a dozen. excuse me. A dozen staples in that little 4-inch thing. And I'm just like, I'm going to start stabbing somebody.
Yeah, yeah, no, I've done floor tear ups and they suck ass.
This is one of the things with having an old house, because there were stretches of the 20th century where people decided that linoleum was nicer than hardwood floors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
one of many sins committed by the baby boomers.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I remember distinctly going through our entire house. We pulled up the carpet in the upstairs, and all of the padding for the carpet was glued down onto the floor itself.
Mm. Yep.
And so you had to then rip up the carpet and then scrape off all that glue. And it was like a black tar. It was
the carpeting in the hallway between our bedroom and the bathroom.
Yeah.
There's not even padding. The carpet's just glued down. It's like if you carpeted this basement by just gluing the carpet down.
Well, that's probably, it's still going to be sucky, because then you're going to have to sand down all the glue residue. Yep. I was just yelling at everyone to not have their phones on the table.
And then you did. At least yours was on top of a pad on top of the table. I don't know if that would have helped.
Yeah.
So it is Crippled System episode 288, which is not prime, but it is, however, too gross.
It is too gross.
Yeah.
It's too gross that we've been doing this podcast for this long.
That's one of my favorite jokes, is why you should never mention 288 in polite society, and that's because it's too gross.
I don't know what two gross is.
It's as opposed to one gross.
Sure.
And then you have a second it's 140, gross.
144 is a correct. Gross?
A dozen yes, dozen, a dozen is a gross.
A dozen dozen. Okay. Yeah. That, so, okay.
Yeah. Two okay. gross. One of my favorite pun jokes, right up there with my story about trying to break into Hollywood, which I told like three episodes ago, so I won't repeat it.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, you do.
I don't.
Where I wrote a script about the guy, the ex-CIA agent whose daughter is kidnapped, so he has to go rescue her. And I submitted that to the studio, but it turned out that idea was taken. And then so I script doctor edited it, and I changed it so that his wife was kidnapped and he had to rescue her, but that idea was taken too.
Aww. It is all coming now. Back to me. Yeah, yeah. It's completely all coming back to me.
Legit joke, though.
Yeah. No, Legit joke. It's good. Yep. We have announcements?
Announcements. No.
Well, there's Warfare Weekend. That's coming up in
November.
November.
Game Hole Con, I believe, is also in November. Is it the last weekend of October?
It is the last weekend in October because it's over Halloween weekend.
Sure.
Which is awesome because there's a Halloween weekend now. Halloween is on Friday.
Halloween's on Thursday.
Thursday? Well, yeah. It's still Halloween weekend.
If you take Friday off.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, so Halloween, that was Game Hole Con. There's some kind of GT that's happening in Michigan.
The Michigan GT and the Michigan Cup in October 12th and 13th.
Yep.
Which we are raiding via caravan.
Yeah, it's going to be my first time getting to play in a team event instead of running it.
I think
I have a really stupid list I came up with that I'm excited about.
I have lists that I'm just too lazy to pack up. So what might end up happening, can you take the same caster in two lists or does it have to be two different casters?
There's two separate casters.
Across the five-man team, you have to have 10 different casters, I believe.
Yep.
Oh.
You cannot duplicate casters across
the list. Oh, okay. Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the same thing, yeah. Right?
You can single list.
Fair. That is true.
Sure. I don't even know whose team am I on.
I don't think any of us know yet.
I don't know. Yet.
Are we doing a lottery draft? So we're going to randomly draw our teams?
In theory, we should figure out what teams would be strongest if we compared some people with some. I think that Andy and I should be on two different teams because we don't need two anchors on one team.
Yeah, you definitely don't need two of us. Yeah. Anchors are the ones that sink to the bottom, right?
Yeah. No, well, not according to white girl tattoos.
Why, what?
The sheer number of basic white girls that have a tattoo of an anchor that says, I refuse to sink. And it's like, that's literally what anchors do, you dumb Becky.
Yeah.
If you Google, I refuse to sink tattoo, you will see a sea of just basic Beckys with tattoos of anchors.
What is it? Okay. So you know what I would have for that tattoo? It would be...
A buoy?
Oh, that would be one thing. But no, I would have a boat with like the little arm danglies on the side of it.
Sure.
I refuse to sink.
Yeah.
That would be more adorable than an anchor.
Yeah, it's one of the there's like a half dozen tattoos that every basic girl has to have. Because you've got that, you've got the dandelion thing. Where all of the dandelion seeds turn into birds as they fly away from the dandelion. You don't look at enough tattoos, Andy.
There's the infinity
symbol.
Is there a
menu? But those are good tattooists tattooing people with taste. Valid counterpoint.
Some of them are pretty bad.
No, there is a book of just the basic tattoos that the pumpkin spice girls all get.
Is there a minion involved?
No, I'm that's disappointed. No. This is you get your dream catcher, you get your infinity symbol, you get your I refuse to sink. Anchor, you get the dandelions turning into birds.
I have an anchor here that's turning into birds.
Right, because that's probably like a combination, and it has. yep. Yeah, it's.
There's several.
Yeah,
anchors into birds.
Yeah, because they start combining those basic tattoos.
Oh my god, this is horrible!
I saw one that had like all eight of them all in one tattoo. It was almost glorious, and it's pure
the
embracing
infinity symbol.
Yeah, it's the infinity symbol. There's the anchor. There's the birds.
I honestly, the tattoo work on these are actually good. They look
that's
very
because
good.
That artist has done 1,000 of those because he lives near a college town, and every single 19-year-old sorority girl has come in and got in the I refuse to sink.
Yeah, there's a whole Reddit for that called ATBGE, which stands for awful taste but good execution.
Sure, makes sense.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, that action is also a very common one. The dandelion where all the little fluffs that are being blown away are turning into birds.
Speaking of dandelions, I liked. I saw some posts on there somewhere on Facebook that had a picture of dandelions just all over this person's lawn. It says, please don't mind the mess. We're feeding the bees.
Sure.
It was kind of cute.
I like that the picture I just showed you is from a clickbait thing that says 35 breathtaking dandelion tattoos. First of all, that's only breathtaking in as much as I want to die when I see it. And second of all,
it's only breathtaking when you see the little kid when mom is holding the dandelion in front of them and then they take a bite out of it.
Yeah.
Then that's breathtaking. Sorry.
Why is this? Oh, my Lord.
I just need to put my phone off to the side. Speaking of phones,
there's a feather that's turning into birds for some reason. The feather's also a very common basic one.
That doesn't make any sense. Feathers don't fall apart like that. And is that a true character portrayal of that person? It's like, I'm a feather, I fall apart. Instead of like floating in the breeze, it just bleh.
I'm a leaf on the wind.
Oh. Hey, do you know how the reapers clean their spears?
Yeah.
They run them through the wash.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know chat was up.
Yeah, chat's up. He's got some other basic things like the arrow and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Good times.
Good times.
But yeah, so there's nothing real soon coming up. There's a Michigan Cup next month. I don't know if there's any big September events to speak about.
I know there was something for Gil Ball. I'm in works with talking to the Milwaukee and the guys from Oshkosh about setting up a trifecta, basically, where we're going to have one event here, one event there, one event in Milwaukee, okay. And we're going to repeat that.
So kind of like another six-pack.
Well, no, just kind of like how we were trying to set up in Wisconsin for War Machine for the past 15 years, yeah. Is having one area having a tournament every 3 months. And it just never worked.
Yeah. Well, you know.
But yeah, I'm hopeful that this will work. Probably won't.
I mean, narrowly avoided having Nicholas on here again, so we could actually talk about the winning the Wisconsin team championship.
Yeah.
There's an announcement. Nicholas is not here.
Well, yeah. But nobody expected him to be here.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to bring that up at all because he wasn't.
We can harass Nicholas for not being here.
No, that's fine. Don't want to harass him.
It's the Republicans' fault. It actually is. That's the funny part.
Yeah.
What?
So why isn't he?
He's going to the Michael's Frozen Custard that's shutting down because today's the last day it's open, and it's shutting down because the owner's husband like got deported despite the fact that he lived here for like 50 years.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Michael's Frozen Custard is one of the... Is that a staple in Wisconsin specifically?
I think it's like Madison only.
Is it only Madison?
Yeah.
But it's a great alternative to Culver's. I mean, it's frozen custard.
It's just
custard.
A little independent, you know, it's a little independent burger stand and custard shop. It's, you know, it's like a little independent DQ kind of place.
Look, as somebody that didn't come from Wisconsin, I can tell you that, yes, frozen custard is a Wisconsin thing because I had never heard of it until there was a Culver's in my hometown. And that was like, that was like 10 years ago, so.
Yeah. It really sucks, though, that, I mean, this whole thing of deporting people that either have lived here for such a long, I mean, we're getting political, I don't really want to, have lived here for so long, have served our country in multiple tours of duty in the military, it's flabbergasting. That if you're in the military and you have a kid stationed in Germany, that kid's not an American citizen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What the fuck?
They changed that so that it's not automatic and you have to apply for it now. Yeah. That it's just like, why the fuck? Why is this important?
Well, yeah. Because this way they can make sure only white kids count.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, War Machine talk.
Yeah.
I'm excited because I made a list that was dumb. And then we did some more math, and it turned out the list actually isn't quite as dumb. Like, I was going to play it anyway. It's just a fun list.
No, it's still dumb, but it's actually good.
Correct. It was going to be dumb, but fun dumb, but bad, but I wasn't going to care because it was fun dumb. And then we crunched some numbers and realized it's actually also incredibly good.
Yeah.
And so that's just a magical moment. And now I'm super excited to play that list.
I am excited to play both of my lists because they're lists I had previously. And I think they'll work. I don't think they'll work, but they might work. They might not. I'm playing Kator for the GT, though. Nope. So
I'm excited because I played Krios 3 today, which I haven't played in like a year and a half, and he's a lot of fun. And he got a lot better with Oblivion.
I'm excited that I'm going to go to an event, and I'm going to be pairing Helga with Rask, and nobody's going to have any practice against Helga. And I guarantee my Rask list, nobody could successfully
predict
more than 20 of the non-battle group points.
Yes.
There is 50 points of that list, 50 non-battle group points of that list, that I could give you $1,000 and you would not figure it out, unless you already saw the list when I've previously gushed about it to people.
Yeah, mine.
It is a batshit insane list, and no one's going to know how to play against it because I don't know how to play with it. Because why would anybody ever play this list? And I love that. That makes me so happy when I'm in a game and I come up with something like that, which is why I abhor. What's that shitty game that I hate?
War Machine?
No, the card game. Keymaster.
High Command?
Keyforge. Keyforge. Fuck Keyforge. I don't get this experience in Keyforge.
What? You do.
What? I get to buy packs over and over and over again until one of them happens to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they all have like similar themes. Kind of similar to how Dead Cells runs. Like there's basically all the boards are different, but there's little spots in all those boards for Dead Cells that are you're like, oh, this is the spot that's got the map and the other thing in
sure.
it.
Yeah, but for Keyforge, it's like the only thing you know about the deck you're getting is what expansion it's from.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Because even to keep the analogy, like if I got to buy a deck knowing it was a Minions War Machine list, you know what I mean?
Sure.
It doesn't give me the control of doing this kind of crazy stuff with it.
Correct. Yeah, you don't have the deck building experience.
Correct. And that's I get so much more fun in deck building than I do in playing most of the time. Because
fair.
If I'm playing a deck I built or a list I built in a minis game, when those mechanisms work, I feel like that's because of me.
Yeah.
As opposed to I bought a thing that had a good combo in it.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if I've always liked my Legion of Steel list. I've always liked it because I like counter charge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just introduced a caster that has counter charge for him himself and his entire battle group.
I really enjoy abusing people with counter charge, especially tactician counter charge.
Because, I mean, that could be a very good at least I feel it might be a very good scenario grind
mm-hmm.
to basically, you know, if I just counter charge and force people out potentially.
No, yeah. I mean this is one of the things that I noticed that a lot of people that play competitively and don't have a ton of experience in the game, but not that are bad at the game, but are playing competitively and are relatively new to it, seem to have trouble catching on to is that there are a lot of lists that are a lot better than they look because in the modern scenario game, you don't have to kill everything every turn.
Mm-hmm.
That as long as you can contest things and effectively prevent your opponent from doing what they want to, you're fine. And the countercharging with resilient models, you may not have the damage output that people are looking for, but put it on the table and play it with somebody that knows how to play the list, and you're going to have a bad day.
Well, yeah, and there can be just some funky, neat little interactions that look like they aren't as big of a deal as they are,
yeah.
But because they don't play the way most people play the game, they can really mess with your opponent's game plan and alter things. Like, look at this is a little antiquated now, but remember Nigel's Ocean 13 list,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
was just Sorsha and just like a bunch of random solos, and you're like, well, okay, but I don't understand. And then you died,
yeah.
Like everything you had died. You're like, what just happened? I don't understand.
Like a newer thing that kind of got added into it is the clock trice.
Mm-hmm.
That thing now has really changed the whole game plan of how you play against Grimkin, because you have to put in something else that's going to hit that clock trice after the first one, mm-hmm. after it dodges away. You have to plan for that dodge. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah.
Could I countercharge off of that dodge?
No.
No, because it's a place effect.
It's a place, not an
oh,
advance.
It's a place? Oh, yeah. if that fucker was a move, then...
Correct.
Oh,
I think the easiest... If you are of the opinion that the clockatrice is overpowered, I think the easiest fix is to have that be a move instead of a place.
Like an internal admonition of some
correct.
Sort.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
I agree with that entirely.
Yeah. almost like a stumbling drunk kind of thing.
But yeah.
Yep. Whatever.
Maybe controllable stumbling
drunk. Yeah, maybe controllable. Yeah. But, you know, yes. We're saying the same thing. We're just using different analogies. But,
yes. Yep.
The only reason I say stumbling drunk versus admonition is because it's after the damage as opposed to before it, like admonition is. So both of them are like half of it.
Yes.
We're on the same page.
We're on the same page.
The point is, no to your counter charge.
Yeah. Oh, darn. Because that'd be awesome.
That's okay. You just surround them.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also,
or you just shoot them. That works too.
Also, what you do too is you put Ashlyn with admonition up, and then put two jacks right behind her so she can't possibly admonition back towards.
Make sure the jacks are exactly 0.9 Ashlyn's apart from each other.
Yep. And then Ashlyn moves at least 20 feet in a high speed velocity.
Yeah.
David is. Also, I don't know if David knows this story, but no. Nathan, unfortunately, during his Merc times over at Misty Mountain,
there were two. I loved Ashlyn, and there were two bad Ashlyn games in a row. One was where I was like, I had two shield guards. I had guard dog from Rocinante, so she's like defense 18. She's got admonition. Like, it was max Ashlyn defense tech, and then somebody just walked up with a Phoenix. It was Jeremy Shea. He walked up with a Phoenix and just flame bursted and killed her because she couldn't admonition away because the two jacks behind her were just a pubic hair too close to each other to fit through. The other one was when Marshall headbutted me under feet by rolling 66655.
Well, of course, it was dropping the highest. It was still, it was still a critical.
Because it has to be the two highest. You can't. Yep. I get to pick with her if I recall correctly, but it was still. I couldn't break it up.
Correct. Yeah.
So my favorite Ashlyn game. I mean, this is in Mark 3.
Sorry.
So she is actually immune to knockdown now.
Good.
I killed her with my Harkovich list because she feeded and moved into the center of the table and felt pretty invincible. And so I killed her with the activation of six heavy warjacks, basically one at a time, walking up with the Kodiaks venting steam on her, and then having the Marauders move behind the Kodiaks and slammed the Kodiaks on top of her. And on the sixth one, it killed her.
That's illegal now.
No.
This was, you could still attack. Not slam.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
the
not
piston.
The power attack. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. The
yeah. Auto hitting things are bad on her feet turn. Yep.
But yeah, I literally did not roll. I it took me six jacks activation because I didn't have anything that I could hit her with. So it was just vent steam, slam a jack over her, vent steam, slam a jack over her, vent steam, slam a jack over her. Oh, she's dead.
It's a POW 12 though, and then the slam is POW 8. Is it or no?
It's POW 12.
POW 12. So it's all POW 12. That should easily kill her in general.
Yeah, she was camping like 5, so it took a while.
Yeah. Because she's a 14 defense, 13?
She's a 17 defense.
Or I'm an armor. I'm an armor.
I think she is. I think she's like maybe a 12, 13. Hey, if we actually had some type
of
device.
Well, I had to put my phone away.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I left my Kindle in the car. Because if I brought it in here, I would just stare at my Rask list and have an erection.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Ashlyn, I mean, the idea with the feet was just to move forward and hit everything with it. So she was camping 5 or 6, so it did take a while.
Her feet in Mark 1 was even better because it was, if you are attacking one of her models that is in her control range, the feet affected you.
Yeah.
So her feet was basically table wide.
Yeah.
Pretty
because
much.
She didn't have to catch you. She just had to catch her army.
Yep.
It was really good.
Yeah. Her and Shay were like the best casters in Mark 1. Shay especially because he was not allowed to play with anybody else.
Nope.
He could only be pretty his much. Own friend. But yeah, we found out very quickly in Who's the Boss that he was very much the jackpot caster.
It wasn't Who's the Boss. Oh yeah. But the big one was the unlikely allies, like the team event, the two headed where we decided that because you were allowed to like do a Krix caster and a Signar caster, it was only fair that for the Merc players they could bring casters from two different
charters.
It's the Italian charter, whatever they were called.
Contracts,
yes. Because there is the Highborn, there's a 4-star, etc. And so bringing Ashlyn plus Shay was not okay.
No, that was not good, especially when you had pirates like 2 inches deep into your your deployment zone.
Top of one, they charged your deployment zone with 30 overtaking attacks that were all like boosted to hit weapon masters, and you're just like, I haven't gone yet. What's happening? And then at least one of your warcasters would die. And assuming you had a second warcaster, they had to dig themselves out of that under Ashlyn's feet.
That was Jim and Nick, and that was one of the worst things I've ever experienced.
That was not okay.
Sounds like what Keith and I did to the Adepticon team tournament, where it's that you have two casters at the same mm-hmm. time, and yep. we did Kruger 2 and Magnus. So the whole idea was, okay, we're going to push you into your kill box and lock you down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did actually...
because Keith and I are terrible people.
Brian Brimmer and I had done that previously, mm-hmm. But we didn't just do the push thing. We brought like Crow's Cutthroats and Chaos the Assassins and whatnot, mm-hmm. because the big thing was with all of the TK from Kruger with the Geomancies, we could turn a bunch of stuff around, mm-hmm. and all that stuff had backstab, including Magnus and Magnus's bonded Warjack.
Yeah.
And so all of this backstab was just wrecking armies, and in addition, just the scenario clearing was wonderful.
That game I was playing that tournament, I was playing Magnus, and Keith was playing Kruger, and at one point I looked at it, and it's like, okay, and it's like, just spin Chromac 2 around and pull him back. I will take care of him. Just please give me this. I haven't had it all tournament.
The only reason we didn't win that tournament was that our like second to last it was time turns, and yeah. we got screwed on dice down because our second to last round opponent was stalling like nobody's business, and the whole time they're taking a 10-minute turn where they don't activate a single model, and like, man, it really looks like you guys are beating us, and we're just like, yeah, we are, and you know that, and now you're cheating. Yeah. But what are we going to do about it?
Man, I do remember that, though, because that was a big blow up on that table.
That was very frustrating.
Yeah.
Especially since the whole time they're like, wow, man, I think you guys are going to win this. I'm like, well, we are if you let us have our turn.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're not going to.
That's one of the – it sucked at a team tournament, though, too, because the turns were so – they were 10 minutes, I think, still.
Because they were two-caster games. Yeah. But
yeah,
yes.
I hate time turns, and Jim was the master of the time turn.
Oh,
he was one of the few people that had, you know, an extra clock, kind of get an idea of like when things are going to end, and then throw everything to where they're supposed to be around that time, and then, oh look, I got more shit in the zone than you. Yeah. Oh, dice down. Oh, I guess I won. Whoops. Brian did that too a lot as well. Not throwing people under the bus, but, you know, it's a strategy.
It was an aspect of time turns, right?
Yep.
To me, like, that tournament is one of the ones that completely killed my willingness to play time turns ever. The only reason I would play time turns now is if you're new, you should play time turns to get used to Death Clock.
Yeah.
Because the problem with learning the game on Death Clock is that you have an hour, and you take your turn, and your first turn takes you 20 minutes, and you're like, oh, what? And it's too late. But if you practice with time turns, you learn how long a turn should feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, it just makes it so your time management is much better than before. And Death Clock leads to sitting into the think tank way too long.
Correct.
Yeah.
Honestly,
that is one of the weakest parts of my game, is that my turn two and turn three usually take too long.
Mm-hmm. I like looking to see if my time is similar to my opponent's time when I finish my turn. Mm-hmm. You know, like if we just both got done with turn two and we're around the same time, then I feel more confident.
As long as you can adjust for like each of you is probably going to have one turn that's 10 minutes longer than the rest of your turns.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and so as long as you realize like, yeah, I've used up 10 minutes more than my opponent, but that's because I did my big complicated turn.
Mm-hmm.
Then yes. I mean, I agree with you 100% with that caveat to listeners. I know that you know that. Yeah. I'm just throwing that out there for anybody who's listening, that that's a big aspect of it as well. So don't get too hung up on that. That's why it's kind of like extensions existing in time turns. Yep. Like, even if you're going to say every turn should be the same length, they're going to have that one turn that takes 5 minutes longer.
With that one opponent that claimed that I use my extension on Harbinger's feat turn.
Well, it takes 5 minutes to say Harbinger feats.
Yeah. It was back in Mark 1, and Harbinger's feat has nothing to do with the opponent. It's basically what it was in Mark 2, where if you moved in her control, then you took power damage.
Is it not that now?
That's what it is now, yeah.
Yeah.
It's still, but it's 20 inches. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
Well, there's the whole facing thing. I don't think it has the facing thing anymore. That was the thing in Mark 1.
Yeah.
If you couldn't see her, it didn't affect you. So you would move up and just moon her.
Yep. Or you'd angle up slightly. It's like,
yeah.
can't see the camera from right here. I guess I'm good.
Yeah.
But yeah, my opponent, it was over in Minnesota. So I'm people who know who it is.
Anyway.
But anyway, yeah, he was claiming that I had used her my time extension when I popped her feet. I was like, no, it's and I popped my feet. You fucking deal with it in your time.
Well, you know, it takes 5 minutes to say Harbinger feats.
Yeah.
It's a very time-consuming one.
Yeah, time turns, I'm very glad that yes. We have gone as a club and purchased many clocks that we don't ever have to worry about that ever again.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, anybody who has a phone doesn't have to worry about it ever again.
No, I don't ever use a phone. I broke my phone. My phone broke.
Speaking of which, Andy, you're a technician and electronical engineer who can repair phones now, apparently.
I can. So last Wednesday, most of you guys know this already, but give me your honest answer. Last Wednesday, my phone suddenly decided that it didn't want to power up anymore. I hit the power button and it didn't power up. Took out the battery, put the battery back in. It would pop up with the LG screen and then immediately go blue. I'm like, fuck, what the hell is this? I didn't even look it up. I'm just like, there's got to be something wrong with the battery. It's probably not powered up properly because it wouldn't even show a light up when I would plug it in. So next day, I took it to Batteries Plus. They checked out the battery. They said it was fine. We plugged in a brand new battery into it, did the same thing. LG screen, blue, dead. I'm like, fuck. So I went and got a new phone from US Cellular. And then when I got it home, I'm like, you know, I should look up to see what that error is and see if there's a way I could fix it because I need contacts and all my pictures off the old phone. So I'm looking. I'm going through a whole bunch of forums, a whole bunch of YouTube videos. They're all pointing towards the same thing, which is to take apart your phone, take out all the parts that can possibly be destroyed by this process, and take the motherboard, then preheat your oven to 360 and put your motherboard in the oven for 10 minutes.
Melt that solder, that whatever. Yeah.
Well, they didn't really mention what
something's what melting.
Yeah. They just basically said, put your phone in the oven for 10 minutes and then let it cool off and then it'll probably work because it's kind of a known issue with the LGs is that they have this thing and lo and behold, it worked.
Did you wear a chef's hat?
No, I didn't wear a chef's hat, but I did announce to people in the house that I'm cooking my phone.
Bone apple teeth.
Yeah, and they're like, what?
My phone right now, when you plug it in, it powers off. So that's fun.
It could be something similar, potentially.
Yeah.
All I know is that I paid attention to what internet people had said to fix my phone. What it felt like.
Charge it in the microwave.
Felt like it was a fucking troll.
Yeah, the charge it in the microwave kind of thing.
Yeah. And I'm not generally one to believe those. But considering on the manufacturer site, on their comments and that, there was like 100 people posting on there. There's people in there saying like, hey, I saw this and I did it and I signed up for this site just so I could post a comment say it worked.
And that would be a lot of committed people to the joke.
A lot of committed people to a joke. And a lot of good moderators that would delete everybody who said, you guys are fucking morons.
Sure.
So yeah, no, I fixed my phone. Kind of wish I didn't buy a new phone, but
You had issues with your phone in general, didn't you?
So the issues
or
I had
did those other issues all get fixed too?
The issues that I had is where I would plug in my headset or not headset, but
your aux cable headphones, yeah.
Headphones in there, and it would think I would have a headset with a mic.
Yeah.
And then fucking Google Assistant would pop up and all other random things would pop up because it thinks I'm tapping the mic. Those fixed.
So you just didn't need a new phone at all?
I didn't need a new phone.
Go return
at all.
It.
No, I'm not going to.
Oh, okay.
I already moved most of my stuff over to it. I will just use the other one as my war room and Guild Ball manager phone.
There you go.
So
there you go.
And it seems like the battery is better on it too. So, because on that Wednesday, I also went to Amazon and bought a new battery. So I have a battery in a box that's about twice the size of your case. It's a huge fucking box.
Why?
For like a wafer battery that's like
Jesus.
The size of a credit card.
Yeah.
Fuck you, planet.
But yeah, no, I'm excited that worked. It's it's something I wouldn't expect, and you know, hey,
sometimes I'm excited for what? You.
Thank you.
I'm also excited about my Rask list. Why aren't I playing it right now? Every moment not playing it is a moment wasted.
Yeah, because you seriously need to some time with that because the clocks are a thing.
Oh, other thing too. So last night I get up at 1:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I don't get up at 1:30 in the morning. I'm about to go to bed.
Sure.
So I'm going to go find my phone, and I glance out my front door, and I see taillights. Some just taillights are lit up. I can't see the rest of the vehicle. We have kind of an old folks senior home across the street, so mm-hmm. I figured maybe it was one of the workers there. I get weary about cars that are just sitting outside parked with their lights on, you know, just thinking maybe it might be a robber or something. So I grab my phone, and as I'm walking back to the bedroom, I notice I have a message, a voicemail. And nobody calls me at 1:30 in the morning. So I go and glance at the voicemail. I saw the call. It came from an unknown number. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a China person.
Yeah.
He's trying to sell me something. I get on the phone. It's the fucking Verona Police Department. He's like, hi, Andy. I just wanted to call and let you know that there's been a lot of burglaries going around. And I just happened to be driving by, and I saw that your guy's garage door is open.
Oh.
Like, sorry to call you so late, but you know, if you guys could check your cars in the morning, see if there's anything missing, make sure your garage door opener is there. Call us if you're missing anything. And then then he hung up. And it turns out the taillights out in front was the cop. He called me like 3 minutes before I went and grabbed my phone. Wow. I just didn't notice it.
Did you go out and wave at him and close your garage?
Yeah, I actually opened the door. I saw he was there. I was in my underwear too. So I waved, closed the garage door, and then I put on some sweatpants and walked out and told him thank you. It's just kind of nice. It's kind of nice for a small town where, you know, he's just driving around and ends up seeing that. And he's like, hey, shut that shit up.
Yeah, but it's creepy that he knew your cell phone number.
He Googled it. So apparently my cell phone number is out on Google Land. He was like, he mentioned that I didn't get pulled over for anything. He mentioned something where he saw a public record of me living at that place. So he Googled me, and apparently I guess my number is maybe on Facebook or something.
Weird.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, so there's a good moment where, you know, a cop didn't kill me as soon as I walked out towards his car in black, like full black shirt and black sweatpants. I don't know if we have any zappity grumbles. We haven't been talking very long either.
Well, you know, people are tired. That's really far away. What nerd hobby has taken up the most of your time?
Dead Cells. I finally got to 4 boss cells in Dead Cells, and holy fuck is that difficult.
Yeah.
I was having troubles because I was in 3 boss cells. I was taking the instant revive. So it revive you.
YOLO.
Yep. And the issue
it's YOLO.
Yeah. The issue with that was that I didn't retain any DPS to make me better through the levels.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kept on and accidentally triggering it. I would end up in some stupid situation where I couldn't jump away, and like the stupid gray and blue shadow sword guys would just get me on a wall and just beat me to death, and they would pop off. So yesterday I tried doing without it and got all the way to the Hand of the King, respect to do what I'm supposed to do, which is the plus 50 health. And then the potions,
mm-hmm.
and then take the assist macro with my traps, and I killed the Hand of the King.
Yeah, because you know what's better than being resurrected after you die?
Mm-hmm.
Not dying because everything's dead already.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Like YOLO's a trap.
It really was, because I had much better runs after I stopped taking YOLO.
Right.
Because I always take support first, because it has. I'm always around my traps. I'm always doing more damage around my traps.
Yeah.
This time, that good run, I also made sure that everything triggered off of something else, like 100% damage versus poison. And then I had a really amazing magic missile that would explode into poison.
Mm-hmm.
So every time that thing hit, it was just a giant green cloud around it. So, oh, yeah, good.
So chat's calling you a liar right now, Andy, and they might be right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've definitely spent more time on you, WoW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic WoW is your current nerd hobby you've spent the most time on.
Yes, of recent. I have a level 23 rogue and a level 13 hunter I was going to level with Chris, and then I found out Chris was leveling outside of the game when we were playing.
Cheating on you.
I was cheating on him at first because I thought we were going to try to play together, and I just got addicted and just leveled my rogue completely out of his range. And then we made plans to play, and then I'm like, I'll level a character to your level. And so that's where I got my hunter up.
See, I don't know. I don't get the classic WoW thing. I mean, I can understand. I mean, I can understand the whole thing of going back to your mm-hmm. old favorite brand of heroin. But with classic WoW, it's like, oh, that and rusty needles to go with it.
Not. I don't want to say exactly. I know Nathan really wanted to jump in and say something there, but for me, it's a familiar new game. As in, I've been playing WoW since Classic and gone through 7 expansions there where it's mm-hmm. literally changed the game each time.
Yeah.
It's different. It's different but familiar at the same time. And I'm enjoying that. I'm enjoying the fact where I talked to Nathan at the store today. I enjoy the fact that if I'm battling a monster in nowadays WoW, you're battling a monster and another thing aggroes on me. You're like, oh, fuck, I just got to finish this guy. All right, hold on. And then take out that guy. In Classic, you're battling a monster and something over there just moves a little bit. You're like, oh, fuck. Because if that thing comes at you and engages you, you are dead.
Yeah.
You're dead. Unless you got some weird, tricky thing. You actually have to work to prevent your death in that. Most of the time, it's just sprinting away from whatever you're going at. I don't know. It's like a new MMO, but an old MMO. I guess that's the easiest way to explain it.
Yeah. No. I don't know.
I'm having fun at the struggle. It's like when I first sat down and played Fallout 4. I played it on easy mode, which is the normal mode for that game,
mm-hmm.
Which I didn't like that much. Not saying I didn't like retail WoW. Retail WoW I love still, but I got more enjoyment out of Fallout 4 when I switched it up to play the survival mode.
Right.
Because then it felt more of like a challenge. Yeah. I felt more accomplishment in actually doing things.
Yeah, yeah. It's like playing Fire Emblem and not playing and playing on casual mode instead of classic. You play on classic because it's
more challenging.
Yeah. It doesn't count if you're on casual mode.
It helps. It helps greatly that I would say a good size of the original guild that I was in Classic
mm-hmm.
are all on the same server. We're in the same guild as we were before. So all the people that I knew from then are playing.
No, our Classic guild kind of shattered horribly.
Ours did at PC.
I have told you all the story, haven't I?
Somebody sleeping with somebody else.
Yes, who was my wife.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, then. I don't think I heard this story, but exciting.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my classic. My classic will, I have told people that your guild drama does not excite, does not interest me, or does not impress me, because we had a huge guild in Classic WoW. I was eventually made the guild master. And because I was the raid leader and then became the guild master too, and we were like the second most progressed Horde guild on the huge server we were on.
Tychondrius?
Yeah. And then in Burning Crusade, our guild kind of shattered after we started raiding because the hunter class lead had an affair with the shaman class lead, which was particularly interesting to me because at the time I was married to the shaman class lead.
Good times.
Yep. And so, as I said, if you have guild drama, it does not impress me.
Yeah, ours just fell apart because the raid sizes changed in Burning Crusade.
Yeah,
so it went down to like a 25 man or even less than that, as compared to all of the raid sizes in Classic were 40 mans.
Okay,
except for ZG, I think
except
was
except for ZG 20. And
Zul'man.
That wasn't in Classic, was it? It was just ZG was the 20 was the 20 man one.
Oh, I think it's Zul'Farrakh. I keep on messing those two up. In fact, one of the guild leader was
Zappity.
Was in Zul'Farrakh, and I asked him if he got his bear mount yet.
Oh no, there were the two versions of Ankaraj. There was the full one, and then the 10 man version, or was it a 20?
20. It was 20.
Okay, yeah.
AQ so there was 20 and AQ 40.
Yeah, it was there was AQ 20 as well.
Don't mind me.
Yeah, no, we're done talking about WoW.
Oh, that's cool. Grumble. I got Super Mario World.
Super Mario World?
Yeah, Chocolate Island 1, baby.
I noticed that they added the Super Nintendo stuff after I saw you playing the Super Nintendo stuff on there. And I loaded it up, and I realized that I cannot control Mario. I tried going through. It was like, oh, my God. I felt like I was drunk.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely am playing, like, Babby's Super Mario World here. The rewind feature helps. I'm like, oh, missed that jump. Rewind. Oh, the Super Mario World here. I'm at 99 lives. Like, they throw one ups at you like there's nobody's business.
I was intrigued playing that because I saw that they have, you know, like, they have not Fire Emblem, but Demon
Breath
Crest.
They have Demon Crest. They have Breath of Fire.
I'm wondering if the controls in that are just as bad because even in Super Ghouls and Ghosts, that I couldn't control.
Demon's
Arthur
Crest
in there.
Isn't as bad because you have aerial control.
Yeah,
I'll stop playing Super Mario World now that we're actually engaged. You have aerial control.
Yeah,
But it is a tough fucking game. It's rough.
I remember playing that too. I remember there was a Game Boy game with that same character too.
Firebrand. I forgot that Demon's Crest has like a bad ending because you can actually go to like the bad guy's castle and kill him like almost right away.
Oh, really?
And then you get a bad ending, and it's just the end. The end. It doesn't even like New Game Plus. It's just, fuck you.
Well, that's early.
It's like in the original Dragon Quest. That's like at the end of the game, you fight the Dragon Lord, and he gives you the option of joining him. And if you do, the game just ends. It just like goes back to the start menu. It's like start new game or continue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that would be amazing if you had to take on yourself. You had to start a new character and then fight yourself at the end of it. Oh my God. That would be a total awesome.
That was my million seller idea when I was a kid. After playing Final Fantasy IV, two in US, but where you as Cecil, you start as a Dark Knight and then there's a point where you become a paladin and you become a good guy or whatever. Yeah. I always thought it'd be cool instead of that happening, like Cecil went on and continued to be a Dark Knight and became the villain, and then you had to play as a new character and then have to fight the person you played as the first half of the game.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, I don't think anything's really done that still, which surprises me because there's a lot of interesting stuff you can do with video games because you have that feeling of oneness with the characters. And so I'm surprised there's never been one like where the first half of the game you play as a character who then is the villain for the second half of the game.
Yeah.
There's ones where it turns out your character was the villain, like Spec Ops The Line and stuff like that. But that's, I mean, and that game's fucking amazing because of it. But I don't know if there's anything quite like that.
I've seen games where the sequel has been you've been potentially the villain.
Like what?
I don't know. I swear. It feels like there has to be a game out there.
Well, so I guess it's not quite the same thing, but there was the interweaving of the Legacy of Kain and the Soul Reaver games.
Yes, that's kind
where. So you got that, and that was actually really amazing. Going back and forth between those games, playing as Kain and Raziel, you know, every 2 years one of those games would come out, and you'd be on the other side again. And then finally, that was really cool. Those were great games.
If I can get Soul Reaver redone nowadays, oh my God, all the voice actors in that game are all ones I've
got Rene Auberjonois, and he's always great. He's Odo from Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
He did the voice of Yennis Aldrin.
Okay.
He was not in the first game.
But Soul Reaver, honestly, I've actually loaded up my PS2 a couple times.
It has Tony J in it.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking Tony J. Oh.
Just, yeah. Nausea.
No. You are worthy. Tony J has got to be one of like the top five coolest voices in voice actor history, or just in history. Like, who's got the coolest fucking voices? Tony J's up there. You got like your James Earl Joneses and whatnot, but he's amazing. Count Frollo from the Hunchback Disney movie.
I've only seen probably the Hunchback maybe twice. I think I've only seen it in the theater once.
It's fine. Hellfire is one of the best Disney villain songs.
Isn't that off of That's I don't I
that's from Hunchback. Hunchback. Oh. That's Frollo really just thirsting after a character.
Frollo to me sounds like it's like a dessert drink or dessert that you get at like Culver's.
Or a Hobbit.
Or a Hobbit, yeah.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if that's a Hobbit, if that's a Hobbit or an ice cream knockoff.
Yeah,
it's an ice cream and a ice cream knockoff. It's like a cherry lava style drink that has a ring at the bottom.
Sure.
Of course, that would be a Mount Doom. That would be, oh my God, if there was a Mount Doom drink, that would be it. And that would be awesome. All right, Zebedee.
You have to like throw the pineapple ring into it or something. Grumble.
Oh, Dan is usually the one who does this, and I'm off on a different tangent here. So somebody else has to grab. Well, I guess
no phones on the table, bro. Yeah. You expect me to reach into my pocket and pull out a phone? What the hell, man?
Yeah, mine's on the floor.
Is this like some kind of work camp?
I don't think anybody's posted on the Facebook. Oh, nope. Somebody posted.
No, I'm reaching into my pocket.
I got it. I suddenly went, what's his name?
Oh, my goodness. That was too much effort.
Time for a nap.
Ditto.
Yeah. So on Thursday.
Yes.
Were you impressed with the Packers' first game with Coach Rodgers?
I mean, we won.
I mean.
So that's good.
I would say the game was offensive and not in the term that you want to use for a football game.
Now, the issue is when the final score of a game is 10-3, the question is always, is that because the offense sucked or because the defense was amazing?
Yeah.
And it's tough sometimes to tell.
Yeah. Bears defense is pretty solid. Yeah. Packers defense was actually pretty good too.
And the only score the Bears got was on a 15-yard drive. Like if that drive hadn't started at the Packers 45,
sure,
they would have been shut out. Yeah. Like that defense did a great job.
Yeah, the defense was great. I mean, Rodgers was below average, but was not terrible. And
yeah, I found myself watching the game though for the first time in a long time since last year. No. But it was nice. It was nice playing WoW with that in the background again. Because
I like that you can challenge penalties now.
Yeah,
nothing has infuriated. Like the two things that always infuriated me about the NFL, they're slowly changing. Well, okay, the two within the game rules things that have always infuriated me about the NFL, they are slowly changing. One was I've always hated the overtime in the NFL. I hated when it was just sudden death. So you did the coin flip, and whoever won the coin flip, 90% of the time they'd win because they'd just get a field goal.
Yeah.
They're still not there because it still is that if they get a field goal, you can answer it. But if they get a touchdown, it's over immediately. Mm-hmm. And that's stupid. If they get a touchdown, let me try to tie it up.
Yeah, just
it should be both sides get a drive. If not tied,
similar continue. To how I think soccer is done, where they have a shootout at the end.
I don't even want to shoot out.
I think it should just be
college. Both sides get a full drive. If you get a touchdown in overtime in college, the other team still gets a chance to touchdown back.
The college is weird because they give you the ball at a certain
sure.
distance, and then you keep trading back and forth.
Okay,
but
that's superior to me already.
Yeah, I mean,
but if you add kicks to it,
right.
then you're fine. Like I kick to you, if you score. Great, let me try to beat you. And after we both have one drive, whoever has more points wins. And if it's tied, you keep going.
Yeah, I would say that the sudden death rule should be that if you have a first down while you have the lead, you win the game.
Sure, which would be, I mean, functionally the same. Like if you have possessed the ball, yeah, sure.
Yeah, if you possess the ball with the lead, the game's over.
Yeah. Yeah, there might be a cleaner way to phrase it, although maybe not. Maybe that is the most overt, although weirdly counterintuitive. But yes, I agree with what you're saying. And the other thing that's always infuriated me is the restriction on challenges.
Yeah.
My stance is, if you're going to give me X number of challenges in a game, if I think the umpire called the coin flip wrong, fuck you. I can throw a challenge flag and say, I think that coin was tails. Check it again. It's my goddamn challenge flag. Let me use it. And so the weird arbitrary restrictions always piss me off.
So can
the,
so
wasn't there a coin flip issue where somebody called it and then they said, oh, no, blah, blah.
Yes, which is why now you have to fully call before they flip the coin. Sure. It used to be called in the air and he calls and guys like, heads, no, tails. And like it had landed by then and they're like, do we heads, do we tails? And yeah, so they changed that. But yeah, I don't care. Like I understand like if a fumble isn't called, like the ball is going to be dead. And so you can't say, oh, it was a fumble. It should have been live because who knows where the ball would have went. Like that I can get because you get in this weird nebulous situation you can't judge. But the fact that you couldn't say that guy just tackled my receiver without a ball in the air, that's obviously a penalty. You idiots. Like that should have always been challenged.
They can challenge a no penalty?
This season, you can throw the flag and say that fucking look.
There's not, if they had like an actual crew of, they'd be watching different cameras, but you have the crew that's on the field. And there's only so many refs. I mean, there's the midfield, two side judges and then a backfield one too. I mean, they're watching so much shit on this.
And I will say like, as much as the whole like blind ref, blind empire, umpire thing goes like, they're really good at their jobs. Like they're correct the majority of the time. Yeah. Like we focus on times that aren't, especially like baseball. Like the amount of times that they're correct about balls versus strikes is actually shockingly good.
At the same time, there is a perverse incentive there on baseball that one of the things that annoys me about umpires in baseball is that most umpires have slightly different strike zones.
Sure.
And that so you get to a situation where the pitchers are pitching not at the actual strike zone but at the umpire strike zone, the umpire strike zone that they're pitching to, because the umpires are very consistent but they're not most of them are not exactly at the strike zone, and pitchers take advantage of that fact.
Sure. Although if the pitchers and the batters both know where that strike zone is it really necessarily an advantage? Now, it can be if it's a strike zone that's awkward to be the batter in, like one that goes lower or something, that I can get. But knowing where the strike zone is, in theory, both players know where it is.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, it's not necessarily that it's an advantage. It's just that it's a different. It's a difference in the game, and you are playing for you're playing to the official and not to the field and not to the other player. And I mean, I think the balls and strikes is something that it's like every baseball game you watch, they've got the strike zone digitally drawn over there and have the answer whether it's actually a ball or a strike before the umpire gets a chance to call it. So why does the umpire call it?
Although you did say that, but on the other hand, I was in a bar a few days ago, or it was last Sunday, it was last Tuesday, so 5 days ago. Anyway, Brewers game was on. The ball went, and it grazed that lower left corner, the outside lower corner of the strike zone, and you saw the little pixel go up there, and the umpire calls it a ball, and then they redrew the pixel just outside the box. Fake news.
And that strike zone changes for every batter too, because
it goes to numbers now.
Yep,
I think.
Yep. Because you remember you're in Milwaukee, so you remember a gold classic Brewer hitter, Cecil Cooper.
Yeah.
He would have his strike zone would be so fucking narrow because he would lean back super goddamn far when he would be at bat.
There was, I forget his name, but it was when Milwaukee was still like the Braves, I think, like just so forever
ago.
Right. Okay. And when it was like the Wild West of sports, right? And this is the time when, like, similar time frame, there was a football coach who sewed pads that looked like the football onto his guys' jerseys so they could all just do this and you couldn't tell who had the ball. But then the game that he did that, like, this was before like it was all standardized, and so you all had to like somebody was in charge of the equipment, and so the opposing coach was supposed to bring the footballs, so he just painted all the footballs like pink so that they could tell which one was the real football. Shit was crazy. But so the baseball one was coach number one, he got a little person player whose number was like 2 3/4 or something. Yeah. So his strike zone was 4 inches tall.
Sure.
Right? So he'd get walked every time, and then they would just pinch runner in for him.
Okay.
So just a guaranteed runner on base every time. The same guy, he had, because there was no rule saying you couldn't do it, the walls of the outfield were on wheels. So you couldn't move them during the game. But, like, if his team – consistently could get home runs at like the 300
zone, like 30 or something
330
like that.
Or so, and yeah. the opponents could only get to like 320, he'd push him out to 325. Or if his opponents out-threat him, he would push it in way far so that both teams would get tons of home runs so that they wouldn't have the advantage of the long distance, so he would just move the walls.
Yeah.
And now shit that, don't fly no more.
Well, I mean that is literally, it's like when they build a new stadium, it's like the coaches are always advocating for trying to optimize where the walls end.
Yeah.
Could they hire on
you could, obviously. Person? There's no rule says a little person can't play baseball.
There's no rule that a little person can't play baseball, but there are rules that prevent their strike zone from being tiny.
Yeah, I think there is a minimum strike zone size now.
Yeah. Oh.
So basically you just have to throw above their head at this point because the strike zone is X size, and so you'd really screw over that little person.
But yeah, there is a rule to stop that after the one team did it. Cuz I think he only played for one inning anyway.
Yeah.
But it was more of the coach was pissed off at somebody on the other team, and so they brought in a little person just to screw with them.
Unrelated, who was that one armed pitcher that we had?
The drummer for Def Leppard.
No, he didn't have his left arm ended like above the elbow.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
And so he would have his glove just pinned against his side, and he would throw the ball and then just shove his hand into the glove so that he could field.
I don't know who that was.
Jim Abbott.
It might have been.
Jim Abbott, yeah.
Nice.
It was so cool because he would just throw the ball and just grab the glove like that.
It might have been somebody. It might have been during the time I didn't really watch baseball. I didn't watch baseball pretty much
before
the 90s.
It was like the 70s.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it was definitely before, yeah.
It was so neat because it was just like, you know, it's similar to drummer for Def Leppard where you're like, you're a drummer. You have to have two arms. Like, you are a professional baseball player. You need two arms. Nah, screw you. he did not play in the National League. Batting would have been awkward.
Yes.
All right. I had another zappity grumble there. Sean is one of our patrons, had asked.
I guess he did bat. Holy shit. There's a shot of him bunting. I mean, he had enough of an arm to be able to, like, he held the bat kind of in the middle and his stump, I guess, for lack of a more appropriate term, he's just able to kind of hold the handle end of the baseball in position.
But yeah.
Yeah, and he did play for the Brewers.
Yeah.
Awesome. So with the future of the WTC up in the air, is there still going to be an ATC this year? I think we've posted specifically the statement on the WTC site.
WITC, you mean?
No, no, asking about the ATC this year.
Right.
What were they asking? I'm sorry. I was still looking at Jim Abbott's stats.
With the WTC having basically the committee basically quitting and forming a new committee.
Our committee quit?
No, for the WTC.
What is going on here?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
The WTC.
Yes.
So the big world tournament championship.
Yes, I know what that is. I didn't realize they were having problems because I'm like working with Simon to get everything finalized.
The committee is not going to be going through the negotiations to have the event again. Basically, from my understanding, the committee is basically retiring this year, and they're going to be forming a new committee.
Okay,
that's my understanding.
That was they were moving from. I knew the Belgian group that was doing it was not going to be doing it anymore.
Correct. Yeah. And that's basically what you're saying here is with the future of the WTC up in the air, are we still going to have an ATC this year? And I was saying that we had made an announcement, I think, regarding this specifically on our the Facebook for it, stating that this will always continue as the ATC.
We will,
no matter what happens to the WTC, the ATC will always stay active and viable. Just, you know, first place won't get you an access into the WTC
but you still will be the championship of the Western Hemisphere War Machine team tournaments. Like, that's still...
So if there's no ATC, can I recruit European players?
No, there's still an ATC.
ATC.
Yeah.
Yes. You might be able to get away with it in the WITC.
No, you cannot recruit European players for the ATC. The ATC is designed for players from the Americas and colonies slash provinces slash territories of countries that our capitals are centered in the Americas. So you could have a Guam player,
okay,
even though Guam is not in the Americas, because Guam is a territory of the United States, which is centered in America. You could do similar things to other such locations.
What if I have a Sharpie?
If you have a Sharpie, you can do anything. Having a Sharpie is like being on fire. You can do whatever you want.
Did you see somebody who had the hurricane hitting Alaska?
Yes.
Because all Alaska's Sharpies down in the corner there by Florida.
Fun trivia about Alaska.
So this is, if we're doing the colonial thing, can I declare this like any place that there's a Trump golf course, can I recruit players from there too?
No, that's
no.
No,
not until he officially declares himself a dictator. Then when his golf courses become American territories, you can do so. But the people have to live on those golf courses. So you have to get like an actual like groundskeeper from his Scottish golf course.
Yeah, they're considered, I guess Dave is asking if they're considered U.S. embassies.
Yes.
Or embassies for the Americas.
Alaska is the furthest north state. Mm-hmm. It's the furthest west state. And it's the furthest east state in America. That's your neat trivia.
Well, especially if you draw a Sharpie to it. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Further south is still Hawaii. God.
I have loved every single meme to come out of the Sharpie gate. It's been the best thing in the world.
My favorite is still Millennia holding his hand.
That, and I also like him walking the new dog.
Yeah, the Sharpay.
The Sharpay dog. Fuck.
It's funny because he's a petulant child who can't even say, oops, my bad, about something so fucking innocuous.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it. You have to draw Sharpies on a fucking map because you can't just say, oh, well, the initial thing said said Alabama and I didn't hear, or Arkansas rather. The initial thing said it and I didn't hear the retraction. So my bad. Good that it's safe. Whichever fucking, it's Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, and that's fine because it's true. The initial thing did mention it and he could just say, oh, I didn't see the retraction.
Yeah,
I'm happy to hear it's not going to hit you guys.
Yeah,
but instead he's such a petulant man, baby.
So here's the best part: falsifying a map.
He's done 100 felonies on camera. None of them matter.
Okay, I'm just saying it's a misdemeanor. It's a misdemeanor that carries a sentence of 90 days in jail, and the statute of limitations is 2 years for it. So if he's out of office, some zealous prosecutor can prosecute him.
Hold on.
Once
hold
he's out
on
of office, RICO laws will destroy his entire family.
Those fucking... So, okay. So you tell me all the weathermen in the world who give us false maps of where storms are going?
They don't give false maps.
It's falsifying them.
They give accurate... they give predictions that, to their knowledge, they are accurately representing.
Sure.
They don't willingly and intentionally give false information.
So you're saying if a sports guy came in and gave his thing...
Oh, no,
with
not
the
even
map
that.
And also altered the map.
The weatherman can say whatever he wants.
Yeah.
The issue is if the weatherman says, this is a report from the National Weather Service, and falsifies a report from the National Weather Service, that is a crime.
Okay, right. That's fair. So, yeah, if the sports guy had to fill in for the weatherman for a day and drew his own map and said it was from the National Weather Service.
It's legal if he draws his own map. As soon as he says it's from the National Weather Service, that's a crime.
In my mind, Trump is the sports guy.
But, yeah, this is...
Wishes. Rooney of the news agency.
The curmudgeon that lives in the basement and complains about everything?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, is that not accurate?
Yeah. But I thought Andy I gave
Rooney
a pretty
actually,
good accurate.
I mean, Andy Rooney actually made sense until he was in his 80s.
Because even like not counting like the obstruction of justice and stuff like that, there's shots of he has openly pushed like...
The classified documents and put them on camera too.
When you like say, hey, you should buy this thing.
Endorse.
He has like endorsed people's books in the Oval Office of the White House. Mm-hmm. It's illegal for a government official to endorse product.
Correct.
Yeah. So there's plenty of openly illegal things he's done, even without going into shit like the election tampering.
Yeah.
It's just that it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
But that's okay. We're all going to die anyway because the Brazilian version of Trump is burning down the rainforest for beef profits.
Yeah. Well,
and least, to murder indigenous peoples.
Yeah. At least English Trump is getting ousted.
But on the other hand, an unelected prime minister requested for the unelected monarch to shut down their elected government, and she agreed.
Yeah.
So might want to look into those rules, England. Yeah. Those all seem like bad
things. Did something happen today?
No, this was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Boris was trying to make sure that the no deal Brexit would pass.
Yeah. Well, I know the latest idea from the Boris Johnson government is they're going to have the government is going to is considering having a vote of no confidence against themselves.
I mean, I don't have confidence in them, so not having confidence in themselves would be the first smart thing they've done in several years.
But yeah, because they tried to call an election at a time that would be very favorable for them, and they couldn't get the votes to do that, and so it is a lower threshold to have a vote of no confidence, and so now that's what they're trying to do is.
All right, I'm going to try to change the subject. So Nathan, do you know what
this was? A shockingly good segue into my recommendation, actually, but I'll swing back to it.
All right, do you? I wrote down because I had to say it.
Yeah.
So do you know what is the best thing about John Cena jokes?
I like the trumpet noises.
No, you can't see him coming.
I don't understand.
What? How do you not get it?
I don't get it
trumpet
either.
Noises?
No, what is the best thing about John Cena jokes?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You can't see him coming.
Well, I mean, usually the setup's kind of clear.
I don't get it.
I do.
He's just fucking with me is all yes. He's doing. Yeah.
Doo, 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 doo.
Yeah.
Those trumpet noises. What?
What?
John Cena's catchphrase is, you can't see me. And so the John Cena jokes, you can't see them coming, is a reference to John Cena's catchphrase.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doo, 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 doo. You know the best thing about Roman Reigns jokes?
What?
It's Roman Reigns. He's a joke.
It didn't make any sense.
Doo, 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 doo.
Oh my god.
He was in Hobbs and Shaw.
He was, yeah.
He was alright. He punched a dude.
He was The Rock's brother, I guess, in that.
He wasn't necessarily his brother. There was a guy who was The Rock's brother, but sure. That wasn't Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, they didn't specify who he was. He could have been a cousin, he could have been anything.
Well it's Samoan, so there's pretty much.
Is this like an Alabama joke? What's going on here? Do you think all Samoans are just related to each other?
In wrestling, they pretty much are.
Sure.
I mean, if you're looking down the family tree of wrestlers, they're it's all in the same trunk. Seriously, you know, the Wild Samoans, you got the Usos, you got The Rock, you got there's.
Doo, 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 doo.
Yeah. Speaking of bad storylines, too, the who's trying to kill Roman Reigns storyline that's been happening on SmackDown for the last 3 weeks now is one of the worst cobbled together storylines ever.
Nobody cares about Roman Reigns.
People do care. Actually,
they finally forced him far enough down their throats that they had to cough him up
after he beat cancer. So for the second time is the time that people said, oh, we should probably give him a chance.
Scripted cancer.
I don't think that was scripted at all, Nate. No, that's come
just
on.
Key fob.
No.
Is it key fob?
What?
Kayfabe?
To start your car?
Yeah, it's key fob, right?
No.
When you pretend you have cancer, it's called key fob?
No. Kayfabe is what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
But no, he had cancer.
Yeah, key fob.
Unfortunately. But people like him now, but somebody was trying to kill him.
Yeah, cancer.
Somebody,
cancer was trying to kill him. We just went over this, Andy.
Somebody tried to dump a scaffolding on him SmackDown, and then on Raw the next week, somebody tried to hit him with a car.
Oh no!
Yeah, and then Roman Reigns is blaming everybody about it.
Oh
and
no!
And he was demanding apologies for people about it.
You better apologize, cancer.
Yeah, and then it's oh god,
who was it?
Huh?
Who'd it turn out to be, Andy? I'm enthused and excited.
Yeah, everybody was until they revealed it.
Was Roman Reigns doing it himself? Did he hire a hitman to get Munchausen syndrome?
Everybody thought it might have been
Munchausen syndrome.
Brian
De Palma?
No, what?
Brian De Palma?
The director?
The director? He wanted to kill Roman Reigns?
No.
Why did Brian De Palma want to kill Roman Reigns?
I don't know.
Was it Brian Geezy?
No.
Oh, sorry. What? It was a good go, yeah. David. Who was it, Andy?
It was Brian, the shark dude. The goat boy.
What?
Daniel Bryan?
Daniel Bryan. That's what I was saying.
I don't like that they made Daniel Bryan into a bad guy.
He's a perfect bad guy.
He should be the Andrew WK of the WWE. He should just be Party.
No. They made him into a bad guy, and Eric Rowan was his bodyguard. And supposedly Eric Rowan might have been the person that pushed down the scaffolding because they had footage and they showed a guy with a hoodie and a long beard, except for Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan brought in some other older version of Eric Rowan and said it was that guy. And they were like, oh, I don't believe that. And then Eric Rowan, it's cobbled together. It's not even Andy misremembering the storyline. It's like, I can't make it out myself. And then last week on SmackDown, Eric Rowan attacked Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns and then said that he did it. And then, yeah. It would have been amazing if it was John Cena. Because then he would have been like...
They have given up on healing John Cena.
No, he shows up once in a while now.
But I mean making him a heel.
Oh.
Not healing like not being injured, but healing like making him a heel.
They can't.
You cannot make John Cena the heel. It's literally impossible.
He's too good of a person. He has to basically do something absolutely atrocious to get the people who love him to stop loving him.
Right.
He also has the record for most wishes from the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
He's too good of a person. And he's also a pretty solid wrestler. I'm not saying he's like the world's best, but he's a solid wrestler.
I've never seen him wrestle.
That would be great, though.
Because his shtick is that you can't see him, David.
If they would have had John Cena in there for that part, when they were showing the video footage of him, it was like, John Cena, that's you. It's like, no, you can't see me. I'm not even there.
Yeah.
He's like, no, it's literally you with the hoodie. And
or if it was just like literally true that you couldn't see him. And so like even though we as the viewer can see him, everybody in the storyline is like, there's nobody there. Just how did that fall over on its own? We have camera footage. And it's just John Cena, not even a hoodie, just walks up whistling, pushes it over, waves at the camera and walks out. And they're all just like, nobody's on camera.
How could this possibly happen? Nobody's driving that car.
Who? Bear is driving? How can this be?
Yep. And that's why I want my wrestling show to be. Yeah. It's just us doing that.
Well, you know.
Yeah. I can
come over at 4 instead sometime. Speaking of incredibly confident and non-corrupt governments, my recommendation is that you watch Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. Because it is fucking amazing. I don't know if you love Dark Crystal as much as I do and fondly remember the film from 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Is that 83?
84, I believe. But either way, it was forever ago. But everybody loves the Dark Crystal movie. Everybody loves the Chamberlain whimpering. Come on. Who are you going to lie to? We all know you love Dark Crystal. And the series is... I expected to enjoy it with some nostalgia goggles on. It is legitimately good on its own benefit. And they... it's PG rated, but it is not like a G rated show that they kind of rounded up to be safe. Like the number of times that my buddy and I would turn to each other and go like, you know, for kids, because something horrific was happening on camera, I lost track of. As an example, there is a shot of a Skeksis. He has like a broken piece of metal and he is bludgeoning something to death as it screams and begs for mercy and blood sprays up from below the camera frame onto the Skeksis. It's like, holy shit, you know, for kids. And this isn't like some random animal. This is a sentient creature that we have known for multiple episodes that the Skeksis is bludgeoning to death while blood gushes into the camera frame. It's like a fucking Tarantino film at times.
The soul gathering off of in the original one was That was traumatizing as a kid.
You know how in the original one, their souls would gather and they'd kind of like shrivel up and they'd kind of have dead eyes?
Yeah,
and in this, they explode.
Oh, Jesus.
You watch, like, there's a shot of, like, they drain, like, a half dozen things at once, and they're all screaming and begging for mercy, and their essence leeches out of their bottom. They start to shrivel, and then they explode. And the Skeksis all just high-five and shriek about how great it is. You know, for kids. But it is wonderful. It has, the puppetry is beautiful and shockingly well done, as always. Like, the amount of stuff that is practical is just mind-blowing when you see these effects. And yeah, there's some CGI. There's like the high-speed chases where obviously they had to like green screen it and put in the background scenes and stuff like that.
I don't consider green screen being a...
Yeah.
Because they've used green screen for... it's the beginning of filmmaking pretty much.
The main use they did for they did green screen for like backgrounds on just for like the high speed chase scenes. Mm-hmm. They did green screen removal for similar to what we were impressed by in that puppet detective movie, the
Jesus.
Whatever we think. So they have like a large character, this big like rock monster that's like 10 feet tall, mm-hmm. and they had like four people in green suits controlling it on set, and then they green screen those guys out. And then the main thing they use CGI for is to add like tongues and blinks and stuff like that to the faces of the characters as they talk, which is really cool. But really great work. Simon Pegg's voice as the Chamberlain is so dead accurate that I thought the voice actor from the original show was still alive. Simon mm-hmm. Pegg sounds just like the Chamberlain.
Nice.
Mark Hamill as the scientist sounds exactly like Mark Hamill doing your standard Mark Hamill voice,
sure.
which is great.
So Chamberlain is still around in this then?
Yeah. It's a prequel.
Oh, it's a prequel.
It's a prequel.
Oh.
So what's great is the film starts with there's been a genocide and all the Gelfling have been slaughtered and there's only two left. This movie, there's a whole flourishing society of thousands of Gelflings that still live. And so this... Or the series, rather.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So the series is the Gelfling learning, and at the start of it, the Skeksis have kind of tricked the Gelfling into thinking that they're benevolent overlords.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gelfling all, like, you know, trust them and obey them, and then they have to learn that there's a terrible secret and then rise up against them, hence resistance. But it's kind of sad because it's like, I've seen the movie. All y'all gonna die.
I had no idea it was a prequel at all. I thought it was a continuation from
the
series.
No, it's a prequel.
Oh wow,
it's really good. There are lots of fizz gigs.
Yeah, so I've seen anime
one with
gifts.
An eye patch.
Yeah, yes. Oh, so all right. So then it's probably proper then that I don't go and seek out to see the Dark Crystal again before I watch.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to.
Okay,
no.
I've been kind of putting it off because I want to watch the original Dark Crystal again, but it seems like that I will just watch the series and then watch it.
It also. So I love when people take like an already existing universe or mythos or whatever and come up with some really clever idea within it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I can't go too deep into this without spoilers, but I will say that the characters of the Heretic and the Wanderer, which are two of the characters in this series, are my current number one example of some writer came up with an idea based on the mythos that they were making the story in, and they deserve all the raises and all the vacation days till the end of time because it's just the cleverest, smartest what if to just take something and twist it.
Hmm.
You know, and I can't even think of like another great example of that. But if you just imagine like this, because there's always these rules like in mythologies, right? And it's like, well, what if this and that and the other? And this is just such a beautiful one that they took in such a great way that, God damn it, that person needs a raise.
Have you seen the shots from the artists, some of the artists doing their concept stuff for the Masters of the Universe? Not mm-hmm. reboot, it's a continuation. But have you seen the shot of...
That's pretty cool.
I'll share it on the Crippled System
page.
Yeah,
it's a sweet-looking Skeletor and the monkey man, the beast boy.
Man. Beast man and merman. Yeah. And actually, that's a pretty nice-looking He-Man.
Yeah. He's got the blonde, you know, page boy haircut without it looking stupid.
Yep. Goddamn. I'm really excited for that series. Considering the Castlevania series that those guys animated was really solid.
This is the same group that was doing She-Ra?
No. Okay. This is completely different. So this is literally a continuation from the characters and somewhat the stories, because He-Man, the original series, was episodic. Nothing really bled into another, but it's a continuation of those characters.
Kevin Smith is show running it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he said the production team is the team that did the animated Castlevania on Netflix.
Yeah. And probably one of my favorite things when they were talking about when they were writing scripts for it, the team basically said, don't write down, don't give us a fight sequence. We'll figure it out for you. So you write the script, so you write the dialogue, and then you guys put in fighty, and then dialogue. And that's where we'll put in the fight.
And don't worry, we'll handle it. We know how to draw a fight.
But I'm excited for that, because I mean, even the reboot that was early 2000s for He-Man was pretty solid. It's probably one of the most entertaining episodes ever of Mechaneck, because Mechaneck is basically useless, because all he does is his neck goes up.
Yeah, he's got a long neck. That's handy. That comes in handy, Andy.
Not really.
He needs to see over a fence.
Especially if you have Stratos right there, who can literally fly.
Okay, but what if there's like a hole...
Sure.
That's only like a foot across that you need to see what's on the other side of that hole.
Would you, as Mechaneck, put your head through that hole?
No.
Well, that's because you're not as brave and noble as Mechaneck. Mechaneck.
Oh,
Mechaneck's willing to take those risks. He'll stick his neck out for you.
That episode, which is the... is like the two-part beginning of the reboot in early 2000s. I think I've made Nate watch it, though. But he is the most useless character in that entire episode, which is entertaining.
Yeah.
Sweet. Also has the best Skeletor line possible when he has King Randor and he's about to throw him off a cliff. And he tells King Randor, is like, please scream as you fall down into this pit, because I've always wanted to know how deep this goes.
I mean, it's fair. So yeah, that was my recommendation. You should watch Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance. It's really good. And I mean, you know, the for kids aside, like, it comes from that era when filmmakers are like, kids are fine being scared.
Yeah,
like kids can handle that. Like, you give them something scary, like whatever, they'll get over it. You give them something terrifying, it'll scare them. Like, adults like horror movies, you know, for the adrenaline rush for that. I mean, kids can like it too, as long as they understand that it's fictional and you kind of pull it back afterwards. And so Don Bluth once famously said, kids can handle anything as long as you give them a happy ending. And so that's why Don Bluth movies are fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Because at the end, everybody smiles and dances under a rainbow, and you forget about the disembowelment and terror you've seen for the last hour and a half.
Who's the Don that was in like Cannonball Run?
Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise. That's when you said Don Bluth, my mind went immediately to Dom DeLuise and Horror Stories. I'm like, that. I don't remember him ever.
Don Rickles. Don Rickles once said, "Yeah, kids can handle a lot," and he just called them all slurs.
He's a very,
Well, he's an old insult comic.
Yeah.
Half of his act was calling people slurs.
All right. On that note, I'm going to recommend having one Switch for each child in your household.
By the way, the Skeksis were like Boris Johnson and the rest of his party. I wasn't sure if that segue was accurately portrayed. I hope that came across.
Oh god, the current British parliamentary situation. They're probably
less competent than the Skeksis.
Yeah, I am just like carefully watching this, because it is amazing all of the weird rules that we're finding out. It's like how the British system works, and it is honestly terrifying.
Switch is good.
Yep.
Plus, then you can get that family Switch package and not feel like you're wasting money, because they give you 8 goddamn codes.
What family Switch package?
Well, the Switch Online.
Oh, okay.
To play online,
yeah.
You either buy one Switch's worth, or you buy a family bundle, which gives you like 8 Switch's worth. And it's like, Jesus, who has that many Switches? So I've just been giving mine away to people.
Oh, okay.
For what?
To play online.
Oh, yeah.
The Switch Online Pass. Yeah. You either get one or you get a family bundle that's, I think it's eight. Maybe it's six. The point is it's more than any family needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So when you say a Switch for each child, you mean when you're beating them with that Switch,
sure.
You want a different one for each child so you don't, like, cross-contaminate them? So we know you're from the South.
So are you telling me that that running back from Minnesota, he had a Switch before Nintendo even knew it existed?
I assume there's a joke here.
Yeah, the running back from Minnesota. I cannot think of it. He's a really good running back from Minnesota, Vikings. But, yeah, he beat his kid with the Switch.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and, you know, I think he was let back in. But
well, he's old school, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I mean, that was recent.
Sure,
who the fuck is that?
Sure.
Adrian Peterson, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, person who knows it. Yeah, yeah.
Ah, yeah. Good times.
Good times and switching.
Yeah, it's better than dog fighting.
Fair.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. There's some people who would say not.
Let's not get into a deep debate over whether dog fighting or child abuse is better or worse. I don't think that can even be ironically mined for humor.
No.
I think that just lays right on the table.
Yep.
And Sorry. We move on.
Yeah. So I'm going to recommend, you recommended Switches for everybody.
Like Oprah style. Just Oprah, you get a Switch, you and you get a Switch, and you get a Switch.
They got a big tree in the backyard.
Switches grow on trees?
Yeah, that's what a Switch is.
A no, the you son of a bitch. Anyway.
So I'm going to recommend a really cool dark drama comedy. Dramedy.
Yeah, they're called dramedies.
Yeah. Barry.
Oh, fuck yeah, Barry.
Barry on HBO. It is an amazing show with Bill Hader, Henry Winkler. Help me figure out who Fuchs is. I cannot remember his name. He played Milton in Office Space, which is a complete version of his character.
But Bill Hader has a free pass for life because of this show now. I will always be cool with Bill Hader.
He's a little bit different.
He was always okay to me. Like, I'm like, yeah, Bill Hader's not bad, but he was like, you know, it's Bill Hader. Like, I didn't care. After Barry, I'm like all in on Bill Hader.
He's much better than I have ever expected somebody coming from Saturday Night Live. I mean, we've seen good actors and actresses coming from Saturday Night Live, but for his dramatic part of that is just... Just
and I think he's like
so
the show
good.
Creator and showrunner too. Isn't like Barry like all Bill Hader?
Him and this very specific director. I don't know who, but I mean it's very much them. It's so good. All the characters are really well rounded out. Hank, I'm only side note. I'm only like two episodes in to the season two. I love Hank. Hank is amazing. He was an amazing through the first season. And it's amazing what you could do with a character that was originally supposed to be killed off in the first episode.
Well, it wasn't first episode, but look at Jesse on Breaking Bad. Jesse was supposed to die in the first season.
Yep.
And they kept him around.
Yep.
And I literally cannot imagine Breaking Bad. I have no idea where the storylines would go without Jesse. Yep. The whole show is based around Jesse's dynamic with Walt.
Going from being, you know, hey, let's cook stuff together. You're a fucking monster.
Well, you have two seasons of the love triangle, basically, of Jesse and Walt and freaking Chicken Man. I remember the actor's name, Gus. Yeah. So you don't have that entire two-season plot line of Gus leveraging Jesse against Walt. Like, what do you... Where could the whatever?
Well, we'll know soon because there's a Netflix movie coming out soon.
Well, that also has Jesse.
Yeah,
it's centered around him. Without
no,
him.
No. But I'm saying though, I mean, we see more of that coming up.
So the movie with Jesse is going to show me what the show would have been like without Jesse.
No, I missed.
You
misspoke.
Lied to me. Andy.
I misspoke.
Do 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 do.
Zappity.
I'm going to fix that with a Sharpie.
I did not mean to share this thing twice.
That's okay.
Deleted. Also, I'm ignoring the poll, and I'm still going to do the WoW Classic with a friend of mine. We're only going to do it like once a week for like an hour a week.
Sure.
We're going to be leveling two characters. we did something similar in retail WoW, where we leveled two characters, and it was some of the most fun that we've ever had and some of the best dialogue that we've ever had. So we're going to try to recreate it in Classic. I don't think we're going to get the same good dialogue.
Who are you playing with?
Playing with Chris.
Oh, yeah. Good peoples.
Yeah. I would like to play with more people. As somebody did mention in the poll, so both the poll was basically, do you want to see the Crippled System crew or somebody from the Crippled System crew play Classic and level a character?
And they all could have said no, and you still would have done it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. For a while there, it was actually leading, and it was 50-50 for a very long time. And it's actually, it's at, I think I won the popular vote.
Okay.
I think there was there's bad... There's voter fraud in the Facebook poll there.
Sure.
I clearly won the popular vote at 46, right?
Okay. Just put a Sharpie on your monitor and just put 80%. And just take a picture of your monitor then post that as an image and claim that it's the live poll.
Yep, live poll.
Poll's closed. Look at that. 80% to 20.
Yeah, no, but I think, we're not really doing much with our YouTube in general right now, so I might as well post something like that on there. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe we'll go back to doing battle reports.
I want to do
more. Yeah, well, with the Oblivion changes, we've gotten more and more people playing. It's on an upswing again in Madison.
Yeah, we've gotten like four new, at least four or five new people in the past month.
Yeah. Do I count?
I consider returning players. Returning players counting.
Yeah, returning players. But we've gotten, brand new people. I mean, admittedly, two of them have I've just seen them stop by one Wednesday and say, yeah, they'll bring their stuff out later because they either just started or moved to the area. But
I might just get rid of all my models except that one list worth of models. I don't think I ever want to play another list again in my life, Andy.
I don't know. I do think
maybe I should play the game, actually play at least one game with that list before I commit like that.
Yeah, yeah. It would be weird to pot commit to that before you even sit
just
down.
Just on paper.
Okay. Okay. Idea for the video channel.
Yeah.
Rum and roguelikes.
You had me drunk playing Fallout 4 survival mode.
I wish we would have recorded and kept that someplace.
Not the one where you came over, but the other one that I did myself is still on my YouTube channel.
Oh, it is?
My first batch, yeah.
Should download it, and then we can upload it on Crippled System.
Yeah.
I would love to do drunk
remember
something.
Zero of that gaming session. And it's great hearing Raylene just shouting at me in the background while I'm just randomly doing things. I'm like, apparently when I'm drunk, I just talk to the stuff. I'm like, hello, robot. Hello.
Chris and his daughter were leveling up two hunters in the area, and Chris and females that live in Chris's house is some of the best things in the world to listen to when you're on Discord, because Chris has got his microphone there, and all you hear is his wife or his daughter in the background just yelling about things.
Sure.
When we're playing Overwatch, if Jen isn't hooked up into the mic, you just have her just like, oh, that was stupid. You're just like in the background, just Jen's peanut gallery is like the greatest thing in the world. And I've always wanted to capture that onto video.
Sure.
Yeah, especially when we're playing Overwatch. It's great.
Well, maybe you'll get it for your WoW play sessions.
Yeah, I think if we're only doing it for an hour a week, I think it would be fun. And just unedited, just us doing stupid things.
If you were more ambitious, you could record yourself for 10 hours a week and just edit it down to your highlights.
No.
But man, that would take too much effort.
Yeah, it would definitely take up effort. The less editing I could do, the better. Hence why this podcast goes up as it does. I might have a new intro song. I might actually do an intro song. It seems like everyone has an intro song.
Do 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 do.
Not the John Cena theme, because then we'd be demonetized.
No, that was slightly different.
Oh, so it's not dun 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 dun.
Exactly.
Do 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 do.
Yeah, that it's got a whole extra note in there.
Do 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 do.
That video.
Do 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 do.
Totally different. I don't even hear it, to be honest. I see no similarity.
That video of him explaining the difference between the two themes.
Bald faced. Although flip side. both of those big cases, the Blurred Lines lawsuit from the estate of
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye. And that Christian rapper's lawsuit against Katy Perry for Dark Horse are both bullshit rulings that go against the law because the prosecutors knew that juries wouldn't understand the law. You cannot trademark the concept of an ascending minor key tonal grouping.
Sure.
Like, that's not a thing you can fucking do.
The Blurred Lines definitely, I never listened to the Katy Perry thing, but the Blurred Lines, it has a very similar bass line, but honestly, most bass lines sound very fucking similar because they are a... there are a rhythm for the song that they're playing. I mean, basically, it's like a drum beat.
There are Mozart songs that have the same modal tune as the Katy Perry song. Like,
sure.
You can't. You just fucking can't. But you just play the two songs for a jury. You hem and haw and wave your hands over what the law actually is. And then the jury gives you $20 million. And it's really bad because once you start making those laws, it fucks with stuff.
I wonder, does the estate get any part in, I guess, any part in Weird Al's version of that?
No, because oddly enough, because Weird Al is directly doing it, it counts as parody.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, okay. Weird Al asks permission every single time, even though he legally doesn't have to.
But the he's asking permission of Thick. What's his name that did
the... Oh, you're saying so like two generations removed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just absurd, and it's just a shame because that's just not good. It's like if you said, "Oh, my painting had red and blue next to each other, and that person's painting has red and blue next to each other," so you sue them. Like, no, because now no painting can ever have red and blue next to each other.
Yeah,
whatever. I could talk about that for several hours because I'm surprisingly more into music than I look.
I love music more than anything.
Lately, I've been watching a lot of videos and reading a lot of articles discussing odd time signatures, like 1316 and shit like that. It's interesting stuff.
Just listen to Dream Theater sometime.
Actually, Dream Theater was one of the examples of a 1516 song. Whatever. Whatever.
You're deeper into that than I am, though.
We are opening a can of worms.
Do you also have strong feelings about Anish Kapoor?
No.
Okay.
Although the odd timestamps got easier once somebody pointed out that 1516 is really just 4-4. Because if you look 8-8, that's just 4-4, but you're just doing twice as many notes, but that doesn't matter. So 1516 is really just 4-4, but every second measure, you skip a 16th note. So it's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And that's like, oh, yeah, okay, fine. Now my brain can wrap around that.
Yeah.
Like, whereas before, shit like that was way too complicated.
Yeah, I just know that Dream Theater does a lot of fucked up shit. Geddy Lee and
a lot of songs that people know do stuff like one of the examples they had in there was the Mission Impossible theme song is like a 7/8 or something like that.
Yeah.
How come my mind is just saying Kansas, and you ever get that thing where if you're trying to think of something and you have
like band is Geddy Lee in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Rush. Jesus fucking Christ. Rush. But my whole mind was saying Kansas, Kansas.
I was going to say, take your time trying to remember. You don't want to rush.
I hate that. It happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, we could probably do a whole music podcast sometime as well.
Yeah, it says chat mentioned Amish Paradise. It's a weird, Weird Al story because it's the only song he did not get permission for because his producers lied to him and told them they had gotten permission.
Yeah,
I thought it was that his producers talked to Coolio's producers and Coolio's producers said yes without asking him.
I thought Coolio's producers said no and Weird Al. Either way, somewhere between Coolio and Al, a no turned into a yes. And so he released the song and Coolio's like, fuck you, man. I said no. And he's like, oh.
That's one of his top ones, too. And it's Coolio's top song ever.
But like 15 years later, Coolio said, yeah, in retrospect, I just should have said yes because that was how you would know that you've made it as a musician when Weird Al does one of your songs.
Yeah. But he was like, oh, you know, the message of the, and I can get that. The message of Gangsta's Paradise is a very serious song. And whatever.
It's a really good song. Both versions are entertaining. I mean, not entertaining. I didn't mean to make it.
But done songs. Yeah, they're good songs. Good stuff.
All right. I guess that's it. I didn't think we had much to talk about today.
Yeah, but, you know, we segued a few times in good times. Ooh. Who wants to go play a game War Machine? I'll go get my models for my Rask list.
I forgot to mention. I almost this. It's kind of weird. On Tuesday after the holiday, we didn't do any podcasting on Labor Day weekend. On Tuesday, I just happened to decide to. Well, I haven't decided to leave work, and I came home to work from home, and I came down here to get the laptop that I work from home with, and the basement was flooded.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. Yeah.
It looks all right.
It looks all right because it only flooded. It was water that was just coming out of the furnace.
Oh, so it didn't flood the whole basement.
Didn't flood the whole basement, but it was. It got all the way up there. I don't know if that that outlet is bad or not.
I'll just stick a fork in it. See what happens.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Or just put my tongue on it like you do batteries.
Sure.
Okay.
Not like a car.
Almost licked the windscreen here, and that would have been gross. Don't. Oh, did you?
Yes.
All right, that is forever yours.
Good. It was supposed to be forever mine.
But yeah, no, I came home and yeah, it was just water was everywhere and kind of freaked me out. It was getting closer and closer to this area here. So
luckily you caught it in time.
On a whim. I wouldn't have came down here until Sunday.
Yeah.
The next, until today would have been the day I would have came down and seen this whole area just completely flooded.
Well, luckily there's nothing near the ground that's really important.
My Fifth Element poster.
And the power strip directly behind it that you have electronics plugged into.
Or the power strip that's there that's even closer to it has all of the electronics plugged into it.
And Bumblebee's foot.
His left foot. That's a plastic anyway.
That's his right foot.
He's plastic.
No, there's mesh in between the two layers of plastic.
Arise, Bumblebee Prime.
Zappity.
Grumble. Thanks, folks, for watching. We'll see you next week. Maybe not see you, but we'll be here.
You'll see us.
You'll see us next week. Maybe.
I'll see you sooner than that, but you won't know I'm seeing you.
Pay attention to our Facebook and Twitter. We may be publishing or putting out live streams of games being played.
Yeah.
It's like I'm trying to maybe grab some Guild Ball players on Tuesdays to come down here and play. And sometimes on Wednesdays, try to grab two people here. You don't want to play War Machine here?
Maybe.
Are you turned into a Skeksis?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for watching, folks. We'll see you next week.
All right. Bye. I'm not
stopping yet. Oh, I was going to say, just a heads up when you're watching Dark Crystal Age of Resistance. If you're like me, for the first couple episodes, you'll think that Skekvar is Skek-Ung, but it's not Skek-Ung. It's Skekvar. They're just very similar characters. So, don't be confused.